This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The DMV's football team has a bright future. It's time for you to plan for your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of this show is the law firm Condori & Murat. They'll help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family. That's the important stuff you got to think about. Start having kids. It is vital. Schedule a free consultation for their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you at Grant and Danny. They'll give you a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We have been jacked up for 2 days waiting on this phone call to talk to our buddy Austin Eckler. He is presented by IT Cadre, trusted insight from trusted insiders, presented by IT Cadre, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective. And our insider with that insight every week during the football season is Austin Eckler, who was on the field making blocks during one of the great plays in team history. Austin, wow, what a win for you guys on Sunday.
Man, oh man, you said it. That was an incredible moment to be a part of, and you know, just something that I will never forget out there in the DMV out here in this area. So I'm so excited to have been a part of that for not only our team, but as I continue to learn more about kind of the history of what this team's been through over the past few years, it's just great that we're bringing some new energy to the DMV area.
When did you think it might get caught, and when did you know it was caught?
I mean, I'm not really even looking down the field, right. Really. I'm just looking to make sure Jane has time to throw the ball. Let's keep these guys off of him. And then obviously, you know, as I see the defenders looking up and looking at the ball, then I started to look for it. And then we can't really see from our angle that we were at because there was just a big ball of people jumping up in the air. And so we see, obviously, the ball of people go up. We see the ball get tipped. And then we can't even see Noah back in the back catching the ball, but we hear everyone going crazy. So we assume, like, someone, like, fell with it into the end zone or something like that. And, you know, the thing that I distinctly remember and I'll always remember is the eruption of roars in the stands and how it just was, it was so loud. It was almost even just like an energy. Like it was just, I just felt like I was a part of this big ball of just loud, passionate, you know, energy. And then all of a sudden I see everyone running off the sidelines, flipping up their headsets and towels and everything. And, man, it was something that definitely got me emotional because I was like, wow, like this, all of this just happened in this one moment. It was pretty cool to share. So, yeah, wow. If anyone, and it, I mean, it's been all over the place. You know, we keep seeing it. I keep just continuing to be like, every time I see it, I just get excited all over again. So, pretty incredible.
Austin, pretty incredible. Cheesy alert here because this will be a little bit cheesy, but I guess two-parter. Number one, I've been going to games at that stadium for 25 years. That's the loudest I think I've ever heard it in terms of the pop, like the moment. I'm not saying that there weren't elongated cheers or, you know, if you had like a meter to measure, it hasn't been louder. But what I call, like in the Royal Rumble, when the music hits and your favorite wrestler's coming out and the crowd goes crazy, that initial pop, like that pop when he caught it, if there was a roof, it gets blown off. But the cheesy part is, I mentioned this yesterday, I want to get your thoughts. To me, only sports can do that. If there's other areas of life, I haven't experienced them, but 50,000 strangers watching one thing, all together being kind of overcome with that joy where it's like, you know, we've heard of uncontrollable anger at times or whatever, that uncontrollable, where's a stranger, let me hug them and kiss their cheek, joy. Like, sports, right. Man, what else can do that?
Well, I don't know. I've seen some of these Taylor Swift concerts. You know,
that might be close. You're right.
You know, it's going to be a different tone of a pitch. You know, it's going to be a little bit higher pitch. But, you know, who knows? But, no, you were 100% right. Like, sports is definitely one of those where it didn't even matter. Like, it was cool watching the videos of people that even were at the stadium that were at, like, sports bars. You know, they'd show, like, the footage of like the sports bar, and then like everyone's just hugging everybody and just cheering and jumping around and just enjoying the moment. And so yeah, it's great that we're enjoying some of these moments out here, because this city has definitely deserved that. It's been long overdue.
Your perspective on the play: you get the initial block on 95, like a traditional chip, helping out 73 Trent Scott, and then you stay over on the left hash, and you eventually, they were spying for some reason, they rushed three, but like 53 was floating around on the logo. You end up getting in his way at the tail end there as Jaden hitches and throws. I mean, it was 13 seconds. Like, what's going through your mind as he's running around and you're trying to keep him
Are you
clean?
Like, throw the ball, dude?
Yeah, but the only thing in my mind is do not get sacked. Like, give us a chance. And, I mean, if you heard any of his interviews after the game, that's exactly what he was thinking, too. Like, let's just give the guys a chance. And so, hey, he needed some time to buy to get guys get down there and get set up. And, you know, fortunate for us, they only really rushed three. And like you said, 53 was just kind of spying around. So it allowed us to have three double teams or six of us blocking three people. So we can block them pretty much all day. Well, at least enough to get the ball off, you know, 12 seconds. We could have gone longer, but it was enough for him to finally, yeah, my head is just like, come on, Jade, throw it. Finally, you know, gave it a heave.
Austin Eckler with us here on G&D. So, Austin, seems to me, again, just watching at home, like Chicago was really concerned about you in the passing game. I felt like they were, whether it was shading your way or trying to take some stuff away, because I don't think they felt like having you catch a ball in the flat and go for like 13 or 14 as you've been doing all season long. Did you get that sense that they were really concerned about limiting you in the pass game?
Yeah, well, I don't think it was necessarily them limiting me in the pass game. I think it's just their defense that they play. I think more so them than any other team we've really played so far. Like, they really want to just sit in their base defense and play to their rules, as opposed to, you know, maybe blitzing a little bit more than some teams do, or maybe doing some five down looks. We saw just traditional pretty much four down looks all day, couple of blitzes here and there, but really, hey, there's always going to be someone matching you to the flat, where some teams might be like, hey, let's actually slough off a little bit and cover the deep route, maybe it's a deep over or the deep corner. And then let them catch the check down, and then we'll come up and make a tackle, hopefully at 5 yards is some of the philosophies. But, yeah, they were like, hey, you got the flat, you are in the flat. Mm-hmm. And there was no slough off or no kind of variations that we saw in their defense. It was just kind of line up, play it, and play it sound. And that's been working for them. Like, they're a solid defense, as we knew going into that game, and because they are sound on their technique and their fundamentals and typically come up and make the play. So, for us, we knew it was going to be a grind. It didn't need to be as bad as it was for us. You know, we had a couple big penalties that just like illegal man downfields that we got to get cleaned up. And obviously we have some things that we can clean up here and there, but especially those two penalties that it's literally just, all right, if we don't go down another yard, we have a touchdown or we have a run inside the 5 yard line. That definitely makes that game a little bit different, as we go in there. But that's football, you know. You go through it, you learn, you adjust, and try to get better for the next week.
Yeah, Austin, pretty much the only thing offensively that you guys aren't doing at a fairly elite level is red zone. You're ranked 24th.
Yeah.
And that, to me, seems like there's been just penalties and little things that have happened, more so than maybe anything else, execution-wise. But you tell me where you're at on the issue in the red zone, or if it's an issue, and like what you see there when you watch the tape.
You know, we obviously want to score down in the red zone. I mean, that's where the good teams are able to separate themselves, especially later in the year. So one thing that I think I want to see us get better at is continue to be able to run the ball in the red zone. I think that's what statistics has shown over years, is teams that can run the ball in the red zone typically have more success of scoring points. So not saying, hey, let's take it out of Jaden's hands and throw it, but us as runners, and me selfishly as the running back as well, want to see us get into the end zone as well. So that's something that I know we're thinking of. Look, we understand where we're at with the red zone. We got to get it figured out, and that's our job to do that. So we're going to go forward, put a plan together, and then see if it works this week.
So speaking of Jaden Daniels, when did you guys know for real 100% that he was playing, and when did you suspect he might be playing?
We never really knew. Thank goodness we don't know, because we got people like yourselves out asking us all this stuff, right? And I don't want to be like, oh, Austin said. Well, no, Austin didn't say anything because he doesn't know anything, you know? So for us, it's just kind of like, hey, whoever's up, that's who we're going to roll with, but we're ready for both, you know? So for us, it didn't really matter. We had faith in both of our guys. And obviously Jaden was able to get out there and play.
Trusted Insight from Trusted Insiders, presented by IT Cadre. Austin Eckler is with us here on Grant and Danny. When you found out he was going to play, at that point, do you just assume he's 100%, it's normal? Because we're all wondering, all right, is he just going to stay in the pocket? Like, the third play of the game, he keeps a read option, and I'm like, oh, we're doing this thing. Like, he is fine. And it never really seemed, I know he got some treatment on the sideline, Austin, but it never really seemed like he was bothered.
Yeah, you know, he's a competitor. I think as he'll continue to learn, and just, you know, me as running back playing in this league for so long now, like, you're usually always dealing with something. There's something that's achy or bruisey, making up new words, bruised or something, like, it's a little strain here and there. Like, the NFL is brutal. That's why we only play 17 regular season games, right? Because just the bodies can't really handle that much more. And so, you know, he's going to have to continue as a competitor to push through and show that, yeah, he's meant to stay in this league. And especially a quarterback, you want to have a 20-year career like some of these guys are looking like they're going to be continuing to have. Like, you're going to have to find ways to stay healthy, find ways to battle through some wounds, find a routine for you that gets you back and ready for the field. Because him, especially as a runner, he's going to be taking some hits that maybe some of these other guys don't. But he's going to have to learn how to take those hits, when not to, when to go out of bounds. And look, he's still a rookie, so he's still got a lot to learn, but he's off to a good start so far.
Austin, for you guys in the run game, like, you and Brian Robinson are such great compliments for each other. How do you kind of prevent teams maybe from sitting on certain things? I guess what I mean is, how often do you have to do something to show it just so you can run a counter later on? Or, you know, are things getting called to your strengths or Brian's strengths? Walk me through how that relationship works, and then kind of how the play calling is going to work to either set things up or have the most success.
Yeah, I think actually, you know, you said some great things in there, and I think it's a little bit of all of that. Like, some plays are more schematical, where it's like, hey, we're going to run this play because we have a pass off this play, or mm-hmm. vice versa. We're going to run this run play because we have a pass that looks like this. And so you set up different schemes, and typically you have players that you want to put in certain positions in those schemes that you think will have the best success. Sometimes you have just specific plays where you're like, we want to get this guy in space and let him just go and make a move and get open, you know, go. I think, you know, something that you see with us is Diami, you know, he catches a lot of those bubble screen type things, you know, or like, we like this guy in space. And so for me, I've been a screen guy for so long, catching so many screens in my career. So getting people in space where it's just like, this play is specifically to get you the ball in a specific way, is what you're going to see. So you're going to see a lot of schematics about it, but then also seeing plays that are specifically for guys to use their talents in the way that they're able to use them, you know.
Austin Eckler on Grant and Danny. I'm sure you've seen the viral clip of Tyreek Stevenson. It was jawing at fans at the start of the Hail Mary play. Would you say anything to him as a teammate after that play, or do you just assume lesson was learned, he's already embarrassed enough?
That's a great question, because it's tough, because, you know, he's going to learn that lesson through all of the hell he's going to get from the media, from the fans, from the comment sections, like, for a long time. Like, that's not just everyone forgets about that this weekend. Like, that's going to be on your profile for, I mean, I don't know how you live that one down. Like, people are just going to remember you for that staple play, because it was such a massive play in a game. And the rookie showdown, right? And so, do I talk to him about it? I think I would just let it, you know, just let him do his thing. You're like, look, man, you definitely learned the lesson. And, you know, he came out and apologized. So he clearly is feeling the heat from other places. Like, how many guys come out and apologize for things? You know, it's not very typical. We got guys apologizing now for how they played, which is typically not a thing that you see happen, meaning, okay, yeah, he understands that he shouldn't do that. So I think he gets the point.
Austin, just, I want to go physically here. How are you at this point? Like, you the pace is good. Like, I would love for you to get more touches, and maybe you would too, but you guys are, you know, there's a conscious effort, it seems like, to keep you fresh and ready to go, you know, deep as they're going to need you in December and January and beyond. How are you feeling physically at this stage?
Yeah, man, body is continuing to feel well. You know, with kind of a committee that we have going on with Brian, myself, and Jeremy McNichols, it keeps us, I mean, as fresh as is a relative term, because you still take some hits that, well, no, one hit is enough to, you know, put you in the training room. But for the most part, it's limiting the contact that we're having. We're able to stay playing at a high level, and that's definitely been a benefit for my body over the longevity of the season. I know we're not even halfway. We're just at the halfway mark. Mm-hmm. You know, this next game. So the fact that I'm feeling like this at this point in the season is a really good sign. And I know, you know, for other guys, if they're feeling the same way, that's what we want to keep. We want to try to keep up this level of play and also this level of consistency with our bodies also staying healthy. Because yes, regular season is absolutely important, but now you're talking postseason as well. You want to make sure that you can have enough juice left in the tank to get you through that as well. So there's a moderation. It's we're fortunate to be in a position to have that, honestly, because it's not always like that.
Austin, we will end the conversation with our IT Cadre fan question of the day, and we've got a question from L.A., who I guess was watching the Lions game, and David Montgomery had running back getting to throw a touchdown pass because he wants to know, have you ever thrown a touchdown pass? Is that something you've pulled off before and could pull off?
Well, you see, I've had shoulder surgery on my right shoulder, which is throwing my throwing shoulder. So my accuracy and my strength in that in the throwing motion isn't the best. So, or maybe I'm saying that because I want to throw off our opponent next week. And I'm going to throw. I don't know.
Exactly.
No, I've never thrown one before. And, you know, sometimes, you know, coach will draw up a play where it's like, hey, we're going to try this one. And you might practice it a couple times and it might get thrown in, maybe not. But who knows? Who knows if we'll have a double pass in our bag. But I wouldn't say it's probably from me.
unless it is.
Right. Austin, thank you as always, unless buddy. Talk next week.
Yes, exactly.
See you, bud. Thank you.
Man. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You got
good
it. Work. There's Austin Eckler on Grant and Danny. Our weekly appointment with him, always thoroughly enjoyable. Loving having him on the show. IT Cadres, trusted insight, helping leaders of the nation's most important organizations understand complexity, align efforts, and make the best data-driven decisions to achieve success. IT Cadre, your vision, our purpose. Danny, it sounds like if he were to throw a pass, he might be one of those three-quarter arm slot guys. He doesn't like going over the top, Ryan Zimmerman style.
Well, remember how Portis did it, too? Like, it was like, this is the most delicate football in the history of mankind, and it was just sort of this gentle feather shot put over people instead of rifling one in there. It might be like that.
I don't think you want any running backs rifling anything into small windows, right?
Yeah.
You're hoping for that wide-open throw, back of the end zone, flat-footed receiver, nobody standing around. That's kind of the dream scenario. But I'm going to say if they got that play in the playbook, to answer LA's fan question of the day, maybe it's B-Rob or it's Jeremy McNichols who's tossing.
Yeah, maybe McNichols was a high school pitcher or something.
How good is this team right now? If we're going to tier this, Colin Cowherd with quarterbacks used to put quarterbacks into tiers where they either didn't belong or there were like three groups of the good guys, right? He would say you can make the playoffs with that guy, you can win a playoff game with that guy, or you could win a Super Bowl with that guy. I want to have that conversation, but about teams and see what bucket you'd put the Commanders in next on The Fan.
Is that the Biz Markie remix?
That was Biz Markie into whatever this is. I know this song, but who is this?
I don't know. This is like the late 90s, early 2000s, where everybody sounded,
you know,
like this.
I think this is...
This is Lit?
No. This is way after. It's 2000s. This is either Yellow Card or like 1985.
Sub 41.
Is this 1985 by...
This is 1985.
White
yes,
Snake?
That's the song. No.
It's not Whitesnake. That's 80s.
1985 by... If I could pull this, I'll be thrilled.
Like American Pie 2.
No.
The Adventure's the same.
1985.
What was the main thing that you could do at the place that you guys went to on Friday?
Bowling for Soup.
There it is.
The band Bowling for Soup.
This was like when I first got my driver's license in the 2006 timeframe. This song was popular.
So this is post like... A lot of grunge, a lot of angst, a lot of flannel, a lot of like brooding teenager that gave way to this. This became kind of the next level of rock.
But this is like 20 years after like a lot of those bands you're thinking of from the 90s. This is like way, I don't know. We're talking way too much about Bowling for Soup. Can we play Ryan's intro music, though? I want really quickly, Danny, as a Ryan explains it all, and then we're going to get back into the Commanders and how good they are.
So yesterday, we were talking about the Hail Mary land. Oh, thank you. And that was fun. We had a great time. Just sort of kicking something around. We're having a little banter in the old aquarium in there with the gentlemen, Darris and Rhino. And I asked them something that came up. I quoted from a pretty famous movie, knowing that neither had seen it, because Darris always escapes kind of the shrapnel because he's seen four or five movies. And I realized none of them could talk about it. And then I even asked the following question, and I got blank stares from both of them. So hopefully they didn't look it up and cheat on this, all right? But I said, Mel Gibson. Now, he's known for one thing lately, right? Lately, over the last handful of years, there's been some scandal with old Mel Gibson. That's not what we're talking about. Other than that, what's Mel Gibson known for? And again, they had no idea. They weren't even talking about Lethal Weapon, which I was talking about. The most famous movie, we went over it yesterday, probably Passion of the Christ. The most famous and best Mel Gibson movie. Ryan, what is it?
Star Wars.
There it is. He told me yesterday it was Terminator.
Close
in the sense that it's a movie.
Yeah.
Ryan, what's the most famous Mel Gibson movie that everybody has a DVD of? Mel Gibson.
The Godfather?
The most famous Mel Gibson movie. I'm going to do this all day. Yep. This is not The Godfather. It's not Star Wars.
Forrest Gump.
Do you know who Mel Gibson is?
No.
You can't picture him.
No, cannot picture him.
I don't know if this is going to work, Danny.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
He's now, just naming films.
Now, what if I did this? Darris, what's the famous movie starring Mel Gibson from the 90s?
All right, so I know this is a Mel Gibson movie. I don't know if it's the most famous one, but I'm going to go with The Patriot.
The Patriot is a great film.
I'll accept that because it is a famous Mel Gibson movie.
But I don't know if it's the one
It's not the one, but good for you for stepping in.
That is my favorite Mel Gibson movie, for the record.
It's a good film.
Do you know who Mel Gibson is now, Clary? Can you picture the star of The Patriot?
No, because actually you gave me that movie to watch a few years ago. I started it, and I never finished it.
Okay.
He's Benjamin Martin in The Patriot. Okay. He doesn't play that in this movie that I'm thinking of. It's a pretty famous movie starring Mel Gibson.
William Wallace is the name of the main character.
No file. William Wallace, the main character of the movie that Danny's talking about?
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, William Wallace is a real person. Who was William Wallace?
Gives an epic speech while on a horse right before a big fight. A war, some would say.
If this is your army, why does it go? I fight, and you may die. Run, and you'll live at least a while. I'll go all day.
Oh, I know. It's Troy.
Troy.
Wrong. All right, I'm going to give you guys a hint here.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Courage. Kidney. Courage. Kidney.
Wow, I got nothing.
Huh.
Troy was a silly movie, by the way.
Was it?
It was a silly movie.
That was good.
The couple of movie buffs over here.
Yeah. I would say this one's a little better than old Troy Polamalu.
Wait, okay. was he in the original Gladiator? No.
Are you asking me or telling me?
No, he wasn't. Okay. No.
Sure? He didn't have a cameo or anything? He wasn't Russell Crowe. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, that, yep.
Yeah, it was Russell Crowe.
Totally confused.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, my only guess at this point, this famous movie, in my opinion, probably the most famous movie of all time, is Forrest Gump.
Bold Oregon.
Bold Oregon.
There's so many people so mad at us in their cars right now.
I know.
Okay, think about the second word. Spleen, kidney, liver.
Dumb and Dumber.
There it is.
What took you so long?
I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong, but...
Again, I couldn't believe it.
Courageous, bold, daring,
Dumb and Dumber. No. I can't figure
dumb
it out.
Dumb does not mean those things.
Brain,
I'm
lungs.
Hold on. Okay. I'm saying words.
So the title of the movie is a synonym of bold.
Bold, courageous, daring.
Audacious.
I don't know. I don't know the movie.
Okay. Don't worry about the movie, buddy. Okay?
I'm just trying to think of pseudonym.
Help your guy.
A firefighter. Bold. The building is on fire. He runs right in there. He is
a firefighter.
There he is.
Bold.
He's a firefighter.
Courageous. Daring. Audacious.
A Disney movie.
Magical.
There it is.
If people are trying to fight you, you're lucky you have a friend who is
the Atlanta
Braves.
There we go.
Braveheart?
Hey!
Oh! What, is that, seriously?
Yes.
That movie's most famous movie of all time?
No.
That's not what anyone said. No.
Danny was saying that it was one of.
It's certainly one of the most popular, beloved movies of this era.
His most famous role before he did Passion of the Christ and everything else is what he was known for decades.
Travis d'Arnaud.
Braves.
There it is.
There it is.
Oregon. You didn't... liver, spleen, kidney, nothing. Danny was going...
I gave you the heartbeat, for God's sakes.
No, I could not figure out, because number one, I'm not going to lie, I think I've maybe heard of this movie in passing. I've never seen it for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we know you've never seen it.
We got that.
It's a good movie, and you could stop at the word movie.
Well, I like good movies.
I'm sure Braveheart isn't great, by the way.
This guy, I'm sure. Who tells us Benchwarmers is the best comedy ever.
Benchwarmers is great.
So wait, was I right on The Patriot?
Patriot is a Mel Gibson movie.
Okay,
yes.
All right, just making sure.
No, your takeaway from this can't be that you were right about The Patriot.
Oh, yeah, sure. Why not?
Quite a takeaway for Darius.
Yeah.
Just to jump back in and go, so I was right about The Patriot then, right?
Me being right, Ryan being wrong. This is what this is all about.
Just to make it clear here, I was the one who first guessed Braveheart. You were sitting there. Your mic was on. You could have guessed Braveheart. I guessed Braveheart. I got the movie before Darius.
I don't know that I would spike the ball on this one.
Yeah.
After.
Mike, just, you're
between
down.
Between the two of us, so I'm going to spike it.
When the firefighter runs into the building, what is he? A firefighter. You said that. I would take a playoff before I started bragging.
In fairness to Darius, well, yes, you got it. You yelled a lot of other things. Darius was kind of sticking with the, if I'm not sure, I'm not going to say anything.
Mm.
You were just shooting from the hip.
Well, I mean, all the targets were on me there. Like, all eyes were on me. Like, I had to guess something.
I agree.
Mm.
I guess I was going to say Star Trek. That was going to be one of the next guesses.
He's known for Star Trek.
Yes.
Old Mel Gibson.
Bold.
Bold.
Courageous. We got there, though.
A firefighter.
Ladies and gentlemen, our pal, our guy, our sweet prince. You're going to Seattle, by the way, right? You're making a trip to Seattle?
Yes, we are headed to Seattle tomorrow morning. 8 a.m. flight out of Dulles. Not fun.
That's a six-hour flight.
That's a six-hour flight.
Are you going nonstop, left. Or are you making a...
Yeah, so we are going nonstop to Seattle. Six-hour flight. I mean... I can't get over the six-hour flight part because, number one, I don't sleep during flights. I have to wake up at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. I'm charging my AirPods as we speak, so just to make sure they do not die in the flight. I know I'm sure I could charge them, but I need to listen to music. I need to have a drink in me so I can kind of settle down and relax.
I'll bet you can sleep
The old
sleep
8 a.m. drink? That's tough.
I'll bet you can sleep tomorrow. 5 a.m. wake-up call does some things.
No, when I'm up, I'm up. Like, I cannot nap. I've never napped in my life. And I can't remember the last time that I've just genuinely have napped.
All right. Well, enjoy Seattle. I want you to have a good time. Locke, you're going to go catch some fish at the Pike Market.
Of course. First thing I do.
He's going to put, you know, he's going to grab the newspaper. They're going to throw him the fish. It's every opening credit shot of every Seahawks game ever. Maybe we'll see Clary on Sunday from the stuff they filmed during the week. Is Seattle home? See Rhino catching a fish at Pike Market.
Love it.
When's the last time you went to Seattle?
It's been a minute. I did the, what was the last time I was there? I did the Bumbershoot Festival forever ago that was always around the Seattle Center and the Space Needle. One of the coolest experiences I ever had, just a quick side, I had a great time in Seattle. So you know how, like, if you go to a city and have a nice time, you're like, that city's awesome. We should always go there.
I think Seattle's beloved for the most part. I went there 11 years ago. It was in my top five. I spent a week there for the All-Star game for Major League Baseball last summer. It fell out of my top five. It's no longer there. But I think Seattle's very cool. Depends on probably where you are, what you're doing.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful down along the water there in that little touristy Pike Market area.
So I did a, like, 300-person theater. I was on a show with Pete Holmes, who's famous, Camille Nanjiani, who's famous, and me, not that famous, but whatever. Like, we did the show, and it was awesome. Great crowd. It was incredible. We walk out of the theater, 100 steps, I saw Wu-Tang Clan do their set. And then I took another 100 steps and I saw Death Cab for Cutie close out the festival. And I go, that was a pretty good day.
That's a pretty
A pretty neat day.
Yeah, I could understand having a pretty positive view of Seattle if that's the case. All right, here's where I wanted to go with the Commanders convo next. So years and years ago, I don't know if he still does this, but I heard Colin Cowherd talk about quarterbacks in this way once, and I actually thought it was really smart. Of the QBs that he considered franchise quarterbacks, so this takes most of the league and throws them out, discards, I would say, of the 32 starters, let's say, somewhere between 12 and 15 of them, right? For the rest of the 15 or 16 quote-unquote franchise quarterbacks in the NFL, if there's that many, he had three tiers, I'm going to call them buckets, that he would use to evaluate quarterbacks. And he would ask himself, is this a guy you win a Super Bowl with, you win a playoff game with, or you could just make the playoffs with? And the idea is maybe, let's say Baker Mayfield's a guy you make the playoffs with. More often than not, like, yeah, he could win a playoff game here and a playoff game there, but he's not a guy that you get to the playoffs, you expect to win playoff games because you have him. Maybe Jordan Love right now is a guy you would say, I can win playoff games with Jordan Love. He's that caliber of quarterback. And then we all know what the I can win a Super Bowl with this guy looks like.
Sure.
Whether they've done it or not, it's Mahomes, it's Allen, it's Burrow, probably Lamar, although he's had his own postseason struggles, but like the elites of the elite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any reason to have that conversation about Jaden Daniels, who looks fantastic, rookie of the year, possible MVP candidate. But I did think it would be instructive to talk about the Commanders through that discourse. How good of a team are they? So we're going to set up three buckets, and we want you to give us your answer. Are they good enough to make the playoffs? They're just that team's good enough to be in the postseason field. The second category or bucket, that's a team that can win a playoff game. That is a team you could win a couple playoff games with. You get lucky, you get on a little run to the NFC Championship game. Or the third bucket is, that's a team good enough to win the Super Bowl this year. There's three options you're choosing from. And we're going to hit the phones on this next, so we want to hear from you guys at 800-636-1067. You can also tweet us if you'd like to do that.
At Greenage Paul and at Funny Danny for me. In fact, I'm going to try something out here. I'm going to post a poll. I'm going to post a poll on this very topic.
How good is this team right now? Playoff good? Win a playoff game good? Win a Super Bowl good? You're listening to The Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We are live until 6:30. If you missed our interview with Noah Brown, first half of the show today, right around 3 o'clock, we'll play some of that for you before we get out of here next segment. Noah Brown, of course, caught the Hail Mary, heard around the DMV. Great information and intel from him on the play and how it came together and on what it's been like for him in the Madhouse celebration since. You'll hear that coming up at about 6:10. Right here on The Fan. Caps play tonight at 7:30. We've got a Caps power play still coming your way before we say goodbye as well. The question for you right now, though, is the 2024 Commanders, how good are they? And we've given you three categories to choose from. They're a 6-2 division front runner, likely to make the playoffs at a 77% clip. Are they good enough to, three buckets to choose from, make the playoffs? Just a playoff team, not much more than that. Win a playoff game, they're good enough to actually end the drought at 19 years, back to 2005. This is a team that'll win a playoff game. Or do you view this team as good enough to win a Super Bowl? Danny.
They can win a playoff game. I don't know if they will. I mean, so much will happen between now and then. But to me, I need to see a bigger sample of really good play against good teams before I start anointing them even higher. They've already gone up like a rocket ship in my preseason evaluation. I go, maybe they'll eke out 7 wins. Jaden Daniels will play superhero a couple times, and they'll be just okay. This is really about future years. Wrong. they're way better than I thought. They're gonna tie or exceed that win total halfway through their season, pretty much. I mean, that's the pace that they're on. Remember, the preseason over-under was 6.5 wins. They're at 6 right meow, 8 weeks into it with 9 to go. So I think they're plenty good enough to win the division. Whether they do or don't, we don't know, because Philadelphia is 5-2, and despite all the turmoil swirling very big, they're pretty good, and they're getting right at maybe the right time. This is a team that's right now plenty good enough, I think, to win a playoff game.
I'm going to say they're good enough, in my opinion, to win a Super Bowl, which people will hear and they'll think that's insane. My logic is not that they're going to, as you just said, they're not necessarily going to win a playoff game. We don't even necessarily can't guarantee that they'll make the playoffs. But in a league right now, where when you look at the standings, the 7-0 Chiefs wouldn't scare me this weekend. The 6-2 Texans wouldn't definitively beat Washington this weekend. In D.C., they'd probably be 3.5-point favorites or 3 or something like that. The Steelers are the third seed in the AFC. Their quarterback's Russell Wilson. Give me a break. No, Washington's a half game back of having the best record in the NFC. If I'm saying the Chiefs and the Lions are the best teams in football, and that's what I think right now, is Washington on the same level as them? No, but I'll take the Commanders' offense over Kansas City's in this moment. I think they absolutely are as good as anybody else. There's nobody that they can't play with. And that's why I'd say they're good enough to win a Super Bowl this time, this year, this time around. Now, I'm not betting on that. I still think it would be stunning and won't happen. But there's not a tier above them based on how they've played through 8 games. That's all. Especially the way their defense has trended, where over the last 3 or 4 weeks, they're 11
they've been good,
DVOA.
Yeah.
Let's go to Reggie, who's in Charlotte listening on the Odyssey app. How are you, Reggie?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
Got it, bud.
I think I would put them in the first category. They're good enough to get to the playoffs. The only reason why I wouldn't put them higher is because I'm not quite certainly sold on the defense. The defense, especially the run defense, teams tend to break off good runs, and they tend to gash us here and there. And when you get in the playoffs late January, and it's like bad weather games, your offense tends to take a step back. And, you know, I don't see us being able to overcome teams in the playoffs with our defense. So that's why I would keep them in that first tier. But that's good, and we still, you know, high on the excitement on how well they're doing this year. So that's where I would put them.
Appreciate you, buddy. Gotcha. I think that's logical and makes a lot of sense. There are flaws and warts on every team, though. The Texans' offense isn't humming, right? Pittsburgh's quarterback situation. Atlanta's the 3 seed in the conference right now. They got dominated by Seattle the week before last. It was such a bad performance, not in terms of like any one part of their team, but they were down by so much that Michael Penix came in and handed it off a couple of plays at the end of the game. They're the 3 seed in the NFC right now. Let's go to Jason in Bethesda on G&D. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah,
from Bethesda!
I was at the game Sunday, first game in 3 years, so still kind of relishing it. But to answer the question, I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's a second bucket. I think there's no doubt this team's good enough to win a playoff game, and I also think there's no doubt they're not good enough to win the Super Bowl. You don't have to beat great teams to win a playoff game. If they stay in the 3 seed, they're playing a 6 seed. That's a team that they're definitely as good as or better than. Grant, one thing I got to disagree about your logic is you mentioned only AFC teams. I agree with you on that, but I don't think we are in the same league as Detroit. So I don't see us getting to the Super Bowl because I feel like playing in Detroit in the playoff game, we would have no chance.
See, that's where we'll disagree. I don't – if they played in Detroit this weekend, I don't think they get worked. I don't fear that game. I think the Lions move the ball on them. I think they move the ball on Detroit every time they touch the football. I don't think the Lions' defense is that good. In fact, I know it's not. The numbers bear that out at this point. But Jared Goff, it scares you? You can't beat the Lions and Jared Goff? You can't find a way to move him off his mark?
It's not to say that the Lions aren't better. I mean, they got the best point differential in the NFL.
Definitely better.
Right? They are good, and they deserve to be favored in that game. But I guess the point is, you sure Washington couldn't compete in that game? I would pick Detroit. Detroit should be favored, but that's not a pushover type situation. I think that's the point.
No, yeah, I'm picking the Lions every single time. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. The question for you is, 3 buckets here, make the playoffs, win a playoff game, compete in a Super Bowl for a Super Bowl, like actually make a long playoff run, where would you have Washington? I think it's super easy to say they're a playoff team because they obviously are.
Mm-hmm.
Even to say they'd win a playoff game, that one makes a lot of sense too. Convince me why they can't hang with Detroit. We'll do that next. Convince me why they can't hang with the Kansas City Chiefs. Also, your last chance ahead of the top of the hour to go vote. Commanders, Survivor, we're kicking a player off the island, giving a player immunity. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny.